Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Wednesday to you. Hey, last night, it was a Joel Embiid show once again. You know, it's one of these things where you try not to talk about this guy over and over again, but it just seems like after games, he's like the most impressive Sixer that you can't help yourself. It's one of those things like if you don't talk about him, people are going to have a problem. Or say, like, where was Pompey at? Did he see what we saw? And how come there's no discussion about the guy? Yep. It was another one of those nights. But the big thing is, you know, they played the Memphis Grizzlies Tuesday night. The big thing is that this game was a true test for Joel Embiid. You know, it was one of these games where, you know, he went up against Marc Gasol, who's 7'1", 265. He can do a lot of the things that Embiid does. You know, he can shoot the three. He can put the ball on the floor. He's mobile. He's a solid defender. So this was actually the first true test. And then another guy who I really wanted to see Embiid go up against was Zach Randolph. You know, Zach Randolph is a 16th-year veteran. He's gritty. He brings it. He basically, you know, this guy intimidates people. And, you know, it was good to see how those two paired up against each other. And I also want to talk a little bit about Nick Stauskas. You know, Nick Stauskas shared with me yesterday that he's seeing, you know, a sports psychologist. And, you know, it's one of these things where, you know, throughout his career, he basically battled, confidence. He lacked it a lot. And also, you know, he's the type of guy who really, you know, he takes things to heart. Like, if a coach criticizes him, if he hears fans saying that he can't play or stuff like that, it's just that, you know, he focuses on pleasing people so much to whereas it comes to his detriment, you know, where it's like it affects him in a negative way. So, you know, it's one of these things where I want to talk about that, and I think that this is a guy who some people may give flack for being upfront and honest. But again, like I said with the Nerlens Noel thing, it's like one of these things where we always want people to be honest, and then when they are, you know, people criticize them for doing that. And I'm here to say that, believe me, he's not the only guy who goes to talk to people about improving his game and things like that and work trying to get his mental state together. But it's just that some people choose not to disclose it. And this guy, you know, he's confident now. He feels good about himself. And I guess he felt like, hey, you know, the way I feel, it doesn't bother me to talk about it. But I know that you guys really, really want to hear about Embiid. You know, today, like I said earlier, was a true test for him, and I got to say that he passed it. Initially, in the beginning, he struggled a little bit. I mean, he went and he tried to take Powell and score like a turnaround jumper off of him. This was early in the game. It was a block shot. Boom. The crowd was like, whoa, wow, maybe he's not that good. So then he comes back down. And then he's wide open for a three-pointer, a corner three-pointer. The guy behind me yells, oh my, what is he doing back there? Well, he shot it. It was a bad shot. It clanked off the rim. So then next thing you know, he comes back down again, and then he does like another turnaround jumper and he misses it. So he goes out of the game, and you know, you hear people saying, maybe he's not that good. Maybe, you know. And next thing you know, I'm thinking to myself, like, okay, this is the normal Embiid. You know, he always starts off slow and he'll get better. Well, he comes back, and then he ends up making like three of his final four shots. And the good thing about it is he was also this guy was also 7 for 8 from the foul line. So he had a solid game. He ended up with 13 points. He had 5 rebounds. He had 1 block shot. He should have had 2 because he actually like hit the ball. His hands, you can see him grazing the ball. And it actually, you know, went in like a slightly different direction after he hit it. But I guess the official really didn't see it, official score. And they didn't like give him a block for that. So in my opinion, he had 2. But again, I have to go with the official book just because it's official, you know. But so they only gave him 1. But I'm telling you, this guy is going to be good because, like I said before, Marc Gasol was a good test for him. Now, did he dominate Marc Gasol? No, not at all. Did Marc Gasol like have some pretty good plays against him? Sure, he did. But did Embiid show that he deserves to be, or is he? No, I shouldn't say deserves to be. Did Embiid show that he has the potential to be one of the elite centers in this league? Yes, he did. I mean, he was impressive. The one thing that really, more so than his scoring, more so than the block shots that he had, more so than him running up and down the court, the thing that really impressed me was when he was on a block at one point in the game, and he and Zach Randolph were like basically battling. I mean, they were going at it for position. Randolph gets called for the foul. And next thing you know, you can see like where Randolph is like, oh, I'm getting respect for this young fella. So then a little bit later on, they're doing the same thing. And somebody else goes to the foul line because it was like a foul, you know, on the ball away from them. And Randolph like pats him. And then they start holding conversation. And then all of a sudden it was like, okay, this young fella has like arrived in their eyes. And then next thing you know, the funny thing is, you know, Randolph is telling him like good luck this season. He's also saying, yo, how's your foot doing? You know, and it made like Embiid feel welcome. But then the funny thing is, at another part of the game, he and Marc Gasol are like, you know, they're both international players and they both love soccer. So they're talking about the EA Sports FIFA soccer game, or as I say, or should I say, football. That's what they call it. So it's like, wow, you know, this guy, you know, is really, you know, starting to gain the respect of veterans. And again, I doubt if it's going to be the regular season that these guys are going to be talking about FIFA. I think they're going to go try to go at each other a little bit harder. But at the same time, that's respect. This is a rookie, and it's respect. And something else, at the end of the game, Mark seeked out Embiid, and they embraced at center court and just talked, and, you know, had a nice conversation. And then not only Marc Gasol, it was other guys on the Grizzlies teams who came up to him, you know. But afterwards, you know, you asked Embiid about his performance. He wasn't happy. I mean, he said the game is starting to slow down. Things are getting easier. But, man, like, the Sixers lost 121-91. You know, he's saying as good as he played, it didn't help. They lost by 30 points. So I think he's a little disappointed about that. And to me, that's another great sign because, you know, he could say like, hey, it's a preseason game. You know, I'm getting the respect of these guys. You know, that's all that matters. But the fact that this team got drilled, to be honest with you, the fact that they got drilled, it was one of those things where that didn't matter to him at all. You know, now before I go in there and I talk about Nick Stauskas, because there's another guy I really want to talk about. It's Gerald Henderson. You know, Gerald Henderson had 10 points. He made 3 of 5 shots. He was a 1 for 2 from the 3-point line and 3 for 4 from the foul line. He had one play called for him. Now, he played in 16 minutes and 15 seconds. So he wasn't on the floor, you know, all that long either. But he get it. He had one play called for him, and he was aggressive. I mean, he was all over the floor. You know, before, I think a couple podcasts ago, I said, hey, the Sixers need to do more of getting him involved. Well, one play isn't really exactly getting him involved, but he got himself involved. And I think that's a good sign. Like, you know, we talked about Robert Covington, and we talked about Hollis Thompson having to be vital pieces of this team. But Henderson has to be the man. Now, I know that everything is going to run through Joel Embiid, but you need this type of veteran presence and to score points, to score a lot of points. You know what? Early in the year, in the preseason, someone asked me, they said, Keith, who do you think is going to be the leading scorer? I said Gerald Henderson. And the reason why I said that is because, you know, he's the veteran. He's the guy who can lead them, be a leader in the locker room, and I feel like he can lead them from a scoring category. Now, again, is he's going to have to be in positions where he's going to get the ball, and they may have to run some plays for him. But if this summer, I just felt like that he was more of a finished product than Embiid, and let's face it, Embiid is not going to play a lot of minutes. He's not going to play on back-to-back nights. I feel like Gerald Henderson will get those minutes, a lot of minutes, once the regular season starts. So that's the reason why I thought that he, would be the leading scorer. Timothy Luwalu is another guy who had a pretty good game. He's starting to understand his role. You know, Luwalu was the 24th pick in this year's draft. You know, he had 13 points on 6 of 10 shooting. You know, the one thing he did do is he had 3 turnovers. But, you know, I feel like that, you know, he played a solid game, a solid game. Now, getting back to my man Nick Stauskas. You know, Nick, I think part of the problem with Nick is, you know, when Nick went to Michigan, he was a guy who he started as a freshman, but he was basically a role player. Like, you know, he wasn't the leader of the team. The team went to the Final Four, but he wasn't a leader of the team. He was just one of the guys. Well, the following season, it's like he develops and becomes the Big Ten Player of the Year. And, you know, he's a guy who basically would have been better off staying another year in college, but he was the Big Ten Player of the Year. And as a sophomore, everyone knew he was going to be a lottery pick, so he took the money and he came and became a pro. Well, you know, Nick is a really nice guy. I mean, a super nice guy. Like, you know, he's the type of guy that you would want to, like, marry your daughter, so to speak. The thing is, sometimes really nice guys, people kind of take advantage of that. Like, I think that he could be naive to certain things. But again, I like him a lot. So he probably wasn't used to the NBA type coaching. He didn't know what his role was going to be. And I think he reads a little too much. And what I mean by that, he reads the paper, he sees what people are saying on the news and this and that. And it kind of affects him a little bit. I mean, let's face it, you know, this is new to him, like being in a limelight, being a guy, being a man. And not only that, and I talked about this before with Nerlens Noel, he was overhyped. When the Sixers made that trade for him for Sacramento, because he played for the Sacramento Kings his rookie year, and then after his rookie year, Sacramento told him that they were going to trade him. And they traded him to Philadelphia that July, and he came here. Well, when Nick Stauskas came on board, all you heard was, we got the shooting guy that we always wanted. He's going to spread the floor. Spacing's going to be right. And the post players are going to thrive because we have Nick Stauskas hitting these threes. I mean, I'm telling you, if people in Philadelphia could have, there would have been a parade for this guy when they had him. You know, and then he had the nickname Sauce Castillo. Well, the problem with Nick Stauskas is that during his training camp, the guy had got hurt. He basically was out all of training camp. So then once the season starts, he's not in game shape. His shot is off. He's rusty, this and that. Next thing you know, he goes from being the guy to being, like, in the gutter in the minds of a lot of Sixers fans. So that kind of, like, wow. Like, it was like, to him, it was like, whoa. I thought I was the guy that everybody liked. Now, all of a sudden, he turns out to be the guy that everybody's saying, get him out of here. He stinks. He's garbage. He's trash. Bring in somebody else. And it also didn't help that, hey, the Sixers, they gave up on him. They will say that they won't. But I know that the former general manager, Sam Hinkie, was shopping him. They were trying to trade him. They were trying to trade him to the Atlanta Hawks. It didn't go through, but that's what happened. They were trying to trade him. So his confidence is shot. So right now, you know, this guy comes in this year, and he has newfound confidence. He talks about, like, hey, I'm in control of my actions or the things that happen on the court. So it's like, you know, I'm like, dang, where did Nick get this from? Where did Nick get this from? Come to find out, he told me on Tuesday that he got it from being with the sports psychiatrist. So, you know, psychologist. So that's where he is right now. And, you know, in a way, a lot of people are going to say, man, why does he have that? Why does he have that? Well, he's not the only one. And he's probably not he's not the only one on the Sixers team to have that. And the reason why I'm saying that is because there's probably three or four guys on all 30 NBA teams who have this. So, you know, I think people need to cut my man a little bit of slack for that. And, you know, he'll overcome it. And I do think that this guy, you know, if he remains confident, if he keeps up going to these people and talking, I think that he would be a solid ball player for someone in this league. But hey, I want to thank y'all for listening, and you know, do yourself a favor and subscribe to this thing, this podcast, and you can get me every day, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow we head out to, tomorrow the Sixers, tomorrow being Thursday, the Sixers are going to play, the Washington Wizards in DC. So this will be another test for, you know, Embiid. And I also like to see what Gerald Henderson can do. You know, there's a chance that Nick Stauskas, he has said that he expects to play Thursday. So, you know, there's a great chance that he will play. And there's also a chance that Brandon Paul will come back to action. In regards to Nerlens Noel, it doesn't look like we'll see him anytime soon. The same thing with Jarrett Bayless. You know, Nerlens Noel, as I told y'all before, he has a groin strain. Bayless has a sore wrist. We probably won't see Okafor until the start of the regular season. And we all know that Ben Simmons is going to miss a lot of time with a Jones fracture in his right foot. Okafor is dealing with, you know, the knee soreness after his knee surgery. So I just want to thank y'all for listening to this show, and I will chat with you guys tomorrow.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.